welcome everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online, as we're beginning a brand new message series titled Dirt Check. What's going on in your life? Dirt Check. And I'm guessing that you're probably thinking, what's with that title? What is this series going to be all about? Well, Jesus was a master teacher, and we know that he did teach with great creativity, as well as imagination, as well as great authority, too. And more to the point, Jesus told stories that made people think. Stories that made people think. He told stories that made them reflect and ask the question, how does this story relate to my everyday life? He told a story, remember, about a lost sheep to show us God's heart for people who are lost, and that we ought to have that same kind of heart. And then, remember, he told a story about a wise man who built his house, and he built his house on the rock rather than on sinking sand, and to teach us that, you know, we need to be careful about the foundation that we're building our lives upon. And then, you know, he told a parable about the Good Samaritan. And in that parable, he was teaching us about really what it means to love our neighbor. What does this really mean? How far should we go with this? So of the many parables that Jesus told, one of my favorite ones is the parable. It has to do with a farmer who sowed various seeds in various kinds of dirt. Now, I suppose I like this parable because, you know, I lived in a farming area. Now, my cousins would call me, you know, I was the city boy. I really didn't know what it was to be about the farm. They lived on the farm. I'm the city boy, but I came out there enough to feel like at least, you know, I could talk about it. I could talk about being on the farm, even though I really was the city boy. But in this parable of the sower, as it often was called, Jesus talked about seed and dirt. Seed and dirt. And some of the dirt was better for growing seeds than others. Some of it was hard. And as he told the story, some of it was shallow. Some of it was full of weeds, and then some of it was in pretty good shape. And as Jesus followers, you know, heard the story, no doubt they were asking the question, what does this story have to do with my everyday life? What does this story about seeds and different kinds of dirt have to do with me? Well, as we look at this parable over the next few weeks, I want you to consider a dirt check. A dirt check. I want us to ask the question, what kind of soil does God find in my heart? What is going on in my heart? What's going on in the hearts of others as well? Dirt check. What kind of soil does God find in my heart? So let's get into it. I've always liked the parable of the sower because the picture that Jesus described is something that, you know, I can still imagine very well today. Jesus took a common occurrence, a farmer sowing seeds, and he taught some simple and profound truths. So the first part of the story is pretty familiar. As Jesus told it in Luke 8 through 5, we read, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he scattered seed. As he scattered seed, some fell along the path, and it was what? Trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Now that's a picture that, you know, you and I can easily imagine. There's this seed, it falls on the path where people normally walk, and so it's kind of hard ground, it gets trampled on, it really doesn't have a chance to grow, and so eventually, you know, birds come and eat it up. We can see that happening. So later, when Jesus was with his disciples, he explained to them more fully what he intended to illustrate as he told this part of the story. So he said, first of all, in Luke 8:11, he said, the seed is the word of God. And of course, this was pointing to the life-changing power contained in God's word. Now, think about the latent potential that lies in every little seed. It is small, but it has everything necessary for an explosion of growth and transformation and multiple harvest. It is all there. All the soil, all the seed needs is soil, water, sunshine. Soil, water, sunshine, and bam, you've got a tremendous harvest. It is the same Jesus is trying to tell us with the Word of God. There is so much potential power in the Word of God, so much latent power stored up for every human being. Amen? There is so much latent power stored up in God's Word for every human being. Amen? God's Word has power to change us. Amen? Transform us. Amen? Save us. Redeem us. All God's Word needs is to do its work. It needs, first of all, a receptive heart, a heart that is open, a heart that is willing to receive it. And then we bring the fresh water of the Holy Spirit, the gift of living water that God allows to come down from on high. And finally, as we exercise our faith, the sunshine of our faith, what happens? God unleashes an explosion of remarkable spiritual awakening and spiritual growth that happens within our hearts. The seed of God's Word, we embrace it. The Holy Spirit comes to anoint it. We take faith and we believe it, and fruit, powerful things can come out of it. There is so much potential power in the Word of God. It can be tremendously fruitful. And so we ought to regularly be feeding on it ourselves. Amen? I mean, if this Word of God has so much latent power within it, then why would we not open it up and regularly let it shape us? Let it impact us. Let it do its thing in our hearts and lives. We need to be feeding on it ourselves. We also ought to think about how can we spread it? How can we share it? How can we multiply it in other people's lives as well? So as Jesus explained the parable to his disciples, he said, "Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts." The first thing that I want you to see from this parable, if you're following along in your outline, is this. Many people hear the good news. Many people do hear the good news of the gospel today all around the world. In fact, today more people are hearing the gospel than ever before. With radio and TV and now the internet, the story of God's love in Jesus Christ has more widespread distribution than ever before in the history of the human race. That is one of the greatest celebrations of all of the technological advances that we have enjoyed in the last 100 years. Many people are hearing the good news in ways never imaginable in the past. And that's something to celebrate, amen? Jesus said in Luke 8:12, "Those along the path are the ones who hear." And I am thrilled about all of the high-tech ways that people are hearing the gospel today. One of the things I love, I have a Bible app on my phone, and every morning I punch that Bible app and it tells me, here's how you're going to read through the Bible in a year. And I just hear what it says to me. I actually put earbuds in my ear and I walk through the neighborhood and I listen to that word being spoken to me. And what I find is it does something within my heart, within my soul, as I let that word daily speak. That technology that enables this to be at, you know, our fingertips, it's amazing. But I also appreciate the low-tech approaches that are still available to us as well, like Operation Christmas Child, where in November, we as a church, remember, again, are going to pack shoebox gifts for children with a copy of the gospel story included. That's a very tangible, very low-tech way that children, youth, and we adults, we can share the good news of the gospel with children literally around the world. Jesus, as he told the story, said, "Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts." The second truth that I want you to see from this parable is this: the devil is at work to steal the word from hearts. We have a spiritual enemy. Do you know that? We have a spiritual enemy. Jesus calls him Satan, calls him the devil. Jesus went up against him several times. And so we shouldn't be surprised to go up against him as well. Though the information in the scripture about Satan's origin is not as clear, the evidence of his handiwork in the world is fairly apparent for anyone who has eyes to see or ears to hear. Listen to some of this week's news headlines that point to the enemy's presence and work in the world. Coach charged with molesting. Two fatally shot in South Tulsa. Brazilian candidate stabbed. Terrorist's motive alleged in attack. Woman fatally shot. Suspect in beating death arrested. Afghan man shot after stabbing in Amsterdam. Man found guilty of killing wife. So the evidence of our enemy's work in the world is all around us. And at times when I read or when I hear about the horrendous things that human beings sometimes do to one another, I'm astounded. And yet, at the same time, I know that evil and that the evil one are real and at work in hearts and in lives. In his story, Jesus said in Luke 8:12, "Those along the path are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and what? Takes away the word from their heart, steals." That's right. Jesus was clear. Satan, the devil, spiritual forces of darkness, of evil, are at work in the world. So we see, you know, that the Word of God has power. We say it has power to heal, to transform, to save, to redeem. And it has that power when we believe it, when we receive it, when we accept its truth as our own. God loves me. God cares for me. God's Son lived and died for me. And with that understanding, I know that, hey, I have been set free. And we can experience the joy of God's grace and forgiveness. What else do we know? We experience new life and God's peace. Amen? But the enemy doesn't like it. The enemy is at work to steal the truth of God's word from our hearts, from people's hearts. He doesn't want the truth of God's word to have any kind of an impact in people's hearts. In a recent Celebrate Recovery meeting, I heard a woman share about how God was healing her from the effects of sexual abuse, poverty, an alcoholic parent, and a shopping addiction. She said, "This is a story that began in my childhood. It continued into my adult life." She said, "The key to my recovery was this: letting God's word replace the lies the enemy had planted in my heart all of my life. When the seed of God's word began to grow and to flourish in my life, that is when the change that has set me free began to happen." God's word has tremendous power to grow and to flourish and to change lives. But the enemy wants to steal God's word from our hearts. So what are his tactics? Well, a couple of them are deception and lie. In fact, they are his primary tool. Satan, the scripture says, is what? A liar and a deceiver. He lied to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and it's been the same ever since. So what are some of his favorite lies? One of them is, God's word is not true. God's word is not true. The enemy says to whomever will listen, God's word is not true. You really can't believe all that stuff about, you know, light and darkness, about heaven and hell, about sin and salvation, about forgiveness and grace. Just forget about that stuff. It's not important anyhow. You've got more important things to consider, like, you know, how you look and what you're going to wear and difficulties, you know, in your job or struggles with your family or, you know, what's happening in the world of sports. Those things are real. Those are the most important things. Don't get caught up in God's word. The enemy wants to steal God's word from our hearts. Here's another one. God's word, it's not for you. Listen, the stories of the Bible, the words of Jesus, the passages of Scripture, they might contain truth for some people, but not for you. You know why? Because you, he whispers, you are too far gone. You are way past saving. You don't deserve forgiveness and love. You have blown it too many times. You are just not good enough. Have you ever heard those whispers from the enemy? We all do at some point, because none of us is perfect. We all blow it. Or how about when we face tough circumstances or difficulties in life? The enemy is right there, isn't he? To whisper to us and say this, see, God doesn't love or care for you. If God really cared for you, he would fix this and he would do it right now. Has the enemy ever used that line on you? He's used it on me. He whispers, you know, why do you even come to worship or open the scriptures? Or why do you pray? The struggles that you face here and there, the hardships that come, the pain and the disappointment of life are all proof that God just really doesn't care. Lies! That's what those are. And he's a liar! The truth is, God does love. God does care for us. And he is always with us in the midst of our struggles. In both the Old and the New Testament, God says to his people again and again, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I love you, I care for you, and I will go with you into the struggle. I will go with you through the valley of the shadow of death. I will go with you into the storm. So the lies keep coming from all sides about God's word. Don't believe it. Don't accept it. Don't trust it. Whatever you do, don't get serious about it or start to live your life by it. I mean, that's a mistake. That is really too narrow of a focus. You need to be broad-minded. You need to consider all kinds of truth. You know, there are so many options out there today. And what is truth anyhow? How about you have your truth and I'll have my truth? And that was the issue in the Old Testament. The Israelites had God's truth. They had God's word. But they said, you know what? We ought to hedge our bets. We probably ought to hedge our bets here. We have neighbors and they have their gods and we hear about them. You know, what we ought to probably do is we'll worship, you know, our God, but we'll also, you know, worship their gods as well. Now, maybe they said, you know, we're gonna mix and match. We're going to kind of pick and choose our truth and what it is that we'll follow. Well, here, listen to this. Diversification may be a good idea in money management, but it is not a good practice in our relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who most clearly revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, the result of the devil's tactics is that many remain untouched and unsaved. We live in a world where far too many people hear the word, but they have the truth stolen from their hearts. They hear it, but it doesn't take root. maybe they don't believe it, or they don't accept it, or they just don't know that I can really trust it. Listen again to how Jesus explained it in Luke 8:12. He said, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may, what? Not believe and be saved. Too many people remain untouched by God's word, unsaved, lost, left to perish, tossed and turned by life. Many people, they have this profound sense of loss. They're wondering, they're floundering inside and out, wondering what to do with their life. They've tried different things. And you know, there is a whole boatload of things that we can try to try and fill the void, or try and medicate the pain. Alcohol, drugs, sex, pornography, gambling, overeating, shopping, and many more. But for all the hope and the fulfillment supposedly promised from these things, we still come up wanting. We still have this emptiness, this void. Other people, you know, they say to me from time to time, I just feel like I'm drowning. I'm just overwhelmed by all of the things that are coming at my life. You ever been there? Turned upside down, upended by life. We have feelings of despair and inability to cope and hopelessness. It is easy today to feel like you are perishing, like you're not going to make it, to feel overwhelmed and burdened and even trampled upon. There is this spiritual battle that is going on. We are in it, and so is everyone else. So what can we do? What is our response? How can we best prepare ourselves, and how can we best be able to help others who find themselves lost or drowning or tossed to and fro by life? I want to lift up four things. First of all, I would say we can do this. Recognize the battle. Recognize the battle. We don't want to keep our head in the sand. We need to recognize the spiritual battles going all around us and stay diligent in the fight. Friends, pray for your children, your grandchildren, your student co-workers, your student friends, people that are your acquaintances. Often, what we need to do is open up the Word and self-feed and let it speak to us. You're not going to help anyone unless you yourself are being filled, unless you yourself have a reservoir that you can help from. Here's a big question in the middle of this series. What is the condition of the soil in your life? It's dirt check time. Is your heart where God needs it to be so that He can use you to help others? Dirt check. What kind of soil? What is the condition of the soil in your life? Is your heart where God needs it to be so that you can help others, so that you can be free? Recognize the battle. Secondly, I would say this. Look for the trample. Look for the trample. Just as there will always be people who scoff at the things of God and the truth of His Word, there are always going to be people who are hungry for the good news. So look for them. The brokenhearted, the downtrodden, those who have been trampled on by life or by the enemy. They're often discouraged. They're struggling. They need a caring friend. Who do we know like that? Third, I would say this. Love them. Love them. More than anything else, they need to know that they are loved, that God loves them, and that we do too. For hurting people, that often means an investment. We need to make an investment in them of time and energy. We have some great caring ministries to help, like Grief Share, Celebrate Recovery, Hurting Parents, and others. But often what they need more than anything else is a caring friend, a friend who can come alongside of them in the midst of the the storm. Each one of us can let people know that they are loved. Fourth, I would say, show them the good news. People need to know that they are loved, that they are accepted, that they can be set free from their hurts, their habits, their hang-ups. Tell them the truth about Jesus. He is the one God sent into the world to show us love and to win forgiveness for us. Now, what did it cost him? It cost him everything, but he gladly did it. He went to the cross to take our place, to pay the price for our sin, for our shameless actions. Tell them of this great good news, that it's available to all persons who come to God with, yes, humility and sorrow, but who also come saying, God, I'm trusting you. And they receive the gift of God's amazing grace through faith in Christ. Share the good news with them, yes, but show them the good news as well in the way that you treat them, with love and compassion. Remember, the Word of God has power to change, to transform, but the enemy is at work to steal the Word from hearts, to prevent it from having its power, to prevent it from taking root. There are a lot of people who feel trampled on by life, and we know what that's like. They're hurting. They're struggling. They wonder if God's Word is true. We've always been a Good Samaritan church. I've always loved that about Christ Church. People who come alongside to help the broken, the wounded, the bruised, the hurting. Remember, Jesus doesn't want anyone to live a trampled life. Jesus doesn't want anyone to live a trampled life, but too many people do today. They are part of the great harvest that is all around us. But the question is, do we see them? And are we willing to take steps to help them to find a better way? The harvest is plentiful, but Jesus said the workers are few. So let us pray that God will raise up workers, workers like you and me, to go and work in the harvest field. Amen. Let's pray about that. Let's pray as we close. Heavenly Father, gracious Master, loving Lord, living Savior, we thank you for this simple and yet profound parable. More people are hearing the good news today than ever before, but too many are also having the truth stolen from their hearts. The enemy, the devil, is at work to keep the Word from bearing fruit in our lives, and uses all kinds of lies and deception to do it. Lord, help us to recognize this battle that we're in and defend off the lies. Help us to stand firm and also to help others, that we might continue to share the good news and to see its power to change, to transform, to save those in our family, among our friends, our acquaintances who are lost, who are hurting, who are confused. We know about that, Lord. We know about the trampled life. We've been there. But you're the God who comes with your truth and grace, your love and forgiveness, your Spirit and power. So come again, Lord Jesus. Rescue us from the trampled life and send us out to share our story with the world that's desperate for you. It's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, that we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen.